Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
You gotta have a fiddle in the band. All right, it is high noon in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Before we get southwest, shout out to Kirk, the Uber driver. Apparently, Fortier got an Uber here, and Kirk was driving him. And when he got in the Uber, he was cranking B. Mitch and Finley.
There you go, Fortier. So, there you go.
Appreciate you, Kirk. And it may or may not be Commander Tequila's birthday. If it is, happy birthday, Commander Tequila.
I don't know if he would know if it is.
I agree. Now, without further ado, let's get down to Dallas and welcome in our boy, Sean Sharif. Sean, what's up, man? You guys have been busy down there.
Now, Brian, when I had you on just a few hours ago, did I blast some stereotypical generic D.C. music or some
Hey, man, you got to talk to your friend Landfill about that.
Yeah, that was all Mullins.
I don't control music.
I need to come on here with a yeehaw, get off my horse.
I don't do the music, dog.
Enough of a hard time down there without coming into Alabama singing the fiddle in the band song.
No. You got it all wrong. You got it all wrong. This is a great thing that's happening. This is the only way that it still may not happen because it's Jerry Jones and his stubbornness wins out. The only possible way that there was going to be a big enough wake-up call for a real culture change, for someone with real credibility to come in here, for it to be bad enough. You give me the option of 12-5 with a second-round playoff exit versus this, I'm taking this. It had to get this ugly. It had to get this embarrassing and humiliating in order to shock Jerry into doing something drastic, and I think we're at this point.
Do you think the roof falling caused him more strain than the team losing?
No, because the roof falling was taken care of in one post-game press conference, and the team getting their teeth kicked in has him getting destroyed every single week for twice a week. He just got off our radio station for the second time this week about 25, 30 minutes ago, and we're just waiting for the next blow-up. You all may have heard about what happened between us on my show and him, and he getting punched in the nuts every damn week. So that is, every week, just getting his jaw stuck out there to get destroyed and mocked. So, no, that's worse.
Wow. I seriously, man, credit to you and your show for not backing down when he clearly – that's a rich, powerful man trying to bully you. And as a journalist, as a radio guy, I was very proud of the way you guys handled all that. Clearly, it's a mess down there. And we've seen it get messy and Jerry just ride it out. And Jason Garrett was employed for whatever, 12 years or whatever. Do you think there's any chance for McCarthy to ride this out?
If they – you talk about ride it out for the rest of the regular season or after this?
After this.
Both, yeah.
If they bring – Mike McCarthy, I believe, survives the year. Jerry has said 15 times, I regret Wade Phillips. I regret this in-season change and firing, blah, blah, blah. If they bring back Mike McCarthy, we'll have a January 6th version of AT&T Stadium that y'all had. That's what we'll – there will be an insurrection – At Cowboys Stadium, if they bring Mike McCarthy back. I'll say there's a 1% chance, 1% chance, just because Jerry Jones is so stubborn, and it would just be because of Jerry's ego. Less than 1% chance, but I won't say absolutely nothing, because everyone thought Mike was getting run after the Packer game. Everyone thought this was done and over with. But there's some people who think that Jerry is so frugal, which would shock many, that Mike or so petty, he was not going to pay Mike to go sit on a beach. No, you're under contract. You're going to work. I'm not going to pay two coaches.
We're talking with Sean Sharif here from Sean and RJ, weekdays 5:30 to 10 a.m., 105.3 The Fan, down in Dallas. Does a hell of a job. You can follow him at 105.3SS. Of course, many years ago, worked here in D.C., went to AU, understands both markets really, really well. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something there that, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this was a real tipping point for Jerry when he gets pushed on this, and I think you guys did it. The frugality. The Cowboys don't necessarily spend to the cap. They don't go cash to cap. Is that a real issue down there that just isn't talked about?
Look, man, we know how messy the salary cap is, right? Like, there's some people who think the salary cap is real and then not real. It's difficult. So Stephen Jones took over the philosophy here of we're going to draft and develop, all right, which is, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. And I grew up being a Redskin fan, and I love that. My favorite thing was to go on Madden and put together the all-star teams that Dan Snyder had recruited. We all know how it worked out, right? And draft and develop is a smart thing, but you got to tinker, right? You got to add Marshawn Lattimore. You got to add some missing pieces that put you over the top. I do find it hard to call them a cheap, frugal football team when you're going to pay out the top of market salaries to three guys. Can you really call them cheap if you give Dak 60 and you give Lamb 33 or 35? And they're going to give Micah 35 as well. So they're not cheap. It's just the allocation of the spending, the timing of the spending, the waiting to cost yourself a little bit more when you could have signed it a year prior. That's what fans are really, really ticked off about, and they just refuse to budge whatsoever. The Cowboys are like they're like a fifth grader that got dumped by a girl, and they just don't believe that like you should ever date again the rest of your entire life. Like, there are people here that still believe the Brandon Carr contract scarred them so much because you gave Brandon Carr $50 million and it didn't work out. We just should not take that big of a swing and miss again. And that started the offseason anger and disgust from the fan base. Jerry's all-in statement that was delivered horribly, got interpreted, I think misinterpreted by us in the media. It took us this long to figure out what he actually meant, but this thing has been an absolute disaster that everyone saw coming from the offseason, starting with all-in.
Sean, we talked earlier when I was on your show about the possibility of Bill Belichick coming there.
Yeah.
And we hear all this stuff from Michael Irvin, who say he knows from a source that Deion may come there. Long as they draft his son. Well, the source is Deion, I would have to say. That's the only person who knows that.
Seems like a pretty safe
guess. Do you think that's any possibility that can happen?
So I think that here are the couple of issues. The Belichick thing, there's two things. Number one, I think it would cause Will McClay to leave. Will McClay is beloved
around here,
scouting director, right? He's the one who really picks the players. Like Jerry Jones didn't know who the freak Mingo was in Carolina. Jerry Jones is not going to the room and saying, trade a fourth rounder for that receiver. We like him in the second and third round in the draft a couple of years ago. He doesn't know who Jonathan Mingo is. Will McClay picks the players, and Stephen Jones puts together the money, and Jerry has, you know, the final say, let me placate you, here you go, sign off on it. So there's a thought that Stephen Jones and Will McClay like would lose their roles if Bill Belichick came in, right? Brian, you said it earlier this morning, you know, control and personnel. Now, could you marriage it where Will McClay, because they said Belichick was fine with giving up player personnel control in Atlanta when he wanted that Falcon job. I don't know how it would have worked in D.C. when the rumors were there with you all, but could you have Will McClay and Steven deal with the players, the money, and Belichick stay away from personnel? That, to me, is the dream scenario. But if Bill really wants total control, then Will McClay and Stephen Jones are going to be out of a job or their roles, and is Jerry Jones really going to kick his son to the curb? Probably not. The other problem with Bill, my two co-hosts believe this, I don't even know, as bad as Jerry has been recently, I don't even know if I can accept this. They believe that Jerry Jones would not hire a head coach that would take the spotlight from him. That would get in the way.
I believe that.
He
fired one that won him some Super Bowls.
I know, but now he was taking the spotlight away. But he brought Parcells in. But he had to. That's why I told you to start this segment. I'm not miserable because to me, this is Parcells 2.0. Jerry brought in Parcells to build that stadium for a draw, right? We knew that he wasn't thrilled working with Bill, with Bill's control and Bill controlling everything, right? And Bill controlling press conferences and getting attention and everything. But Jerry needed it for the stadium. And I think Jerry needs something right now to salvage this fan base. And when the games end, and JP, you would probably know this covering it, you know, in the press room, four people the other day were in McCarthy's presser.
Wow.
And everyone else is outside. Like, Jerry doesn't even wait for McCarthy to do the presser before talking. Like, the pressers are taking place at the same time. And everyone's
outside in the hallway.
They're outside in the hallway with Jerry, and four people are in there with the head coach. Now, does that happen with Deion Sanders? My guys believe that Deion would become the face of the Dallas Cowboys, not Jerry Jones, and that would stop them. That would stop Jerry from hiring Deion. You also have Diana Rossini, and our Cowboys insider saying not a one person has really brought up Deion Sanders as a serious name. Jerry was just asked about it on our station about 35 minutes ago, and I think he said, I was just reading Twitter, you know, Deion's recruiting plays a major role in college. So it sounded like he was distancing himself from it a tiny bit. I have to go back and listen. But I would think Belichick would be more of a possibility right now than Deion.
Talking with Sean Sharif. No, I think, dude, I don't know if you watched this. I was trying to do a reset, but who cares? Everybody knows who you are. I think if you listened, and you probably were watching the game, so you weren't going to do this.
Oh, and by the way, JP, let me just stick this in real quick. I think the most likely thing to happen is Mike Vrabel. I may as well just throw in my own opinion. I think that's a really good hire. I think you have the hard-ass culture guy that you would want in a this team is dumb. This team is undisciplined. This team is sensitive. This team is whiny. This team is delusional. All of these things have been happening here for years. Now, with Vrabel, to me, you get the hard-ass culture guy with more of a personality than Belichick. You also get someone who doesn't need personnel control and someone who doesn't take the spotlight from Jerry like Deion and the credit, right? He would get more credit. If you hire Bill Belichick, how much credit does Jerry Jones really get? That's why I wanted Garrett to work. Like, that's why that was his hand-chosen guy. That's why there's this Jason Witten minor talk around here. That would be, like, his next Jason Garrett. But my prediction for it is Mike Vrabel.
That's a really good one. I think Vrabel's very good at coaching, too, which might just be what Dallas needs. Talking with Sean Sharif here. Give him a follow at 105.3 SS. Check out the Sean and RJ weekdays, mornings down in Dallas, 105.3 The Fan. It's almost secondary. I mean, hell, it's not almost secondary. It's definitely secondary, but there is a game this weekend. Washington needs it bad. They're coming off back-to-back losses for the first time in kind of the DQ tenure. I was texting with some folks I know down there that perhaps there was no love lost between Joe Witt and Mike McCarthy. I think there's going to be, you know, Dan Quinn came up here, Witt came up here, Armstrong, Fowler, Noah Eye, Tyler Biotis.
Got a lot of people.
I think there's going to be some real excited players to see that star on the other side this weekend. What are you expecting? And is Dallas, at this point in the turmoil and everything else going on, are they really even up for a fist fight at this point?
Oh, the Cowboys are not up for a fist fight at full capacity. The San Francisco 49ers, the 49ers proved that. Like, they're the Cowboys' daddy. We all know that. They punked this team. They gave them wedgies and dunked their heads in the school toilets year after year after year. They proved the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are bullies. That's what they are. When Washington has been terrible, the Cowboys beat up on the sorry ass NFC East, and then when Debo comes around the corner, literally, figuratively, then they cower in fear and they fold up like a tent. Now, the big question to me about this game, and I don't think the Cowboys are going to win. Could they keep it like Houston close, like early on? Yeah, possibly. But you know, I would always bet the Commanders and the points. The question we're all asking is like, was Washington like a little overhyped? Like, is Jaden Daniels like coming back to earth a little bit? That's the only way that the game could be in any way close. Like, the Cowboys, Washington, the Commanders would have to not play well. The Cowboys aren't going to do anything to be like, whoa, this is impressive. As long as you double Lamb and you limit him, it's a wrap. It's done and over with. As long as you don't allow Rico Dowdle to get off, even though I know y'all's run defense is a little bit of a question, they're not going to have Jake Ferguson, probably with the concussion. Like, you guys are going to have to beat yourselves in order for this thing to be close or for the Cowboys to win.
So that, offensive output from Washington and the game's over.
Yes. Done and over with. Mike McCarthy, by the way, I'm not going to let Mike McCarthy off the hook either. Mike McCarthy has somehow gotten a different rule book to where, like, he doesn't think you have to get, like, 10 yards for a first down. Like, you're going to see this team throw 5 to 6 yards short of the first down markers. You're going to see 2 reverses to CeeDee Lamb. You're going to see CeeDee Lamb force-fed. You're going to see no running game. And you're not going to see any other receivers. The only thing you need to worry about offensively, and I'm not even talking about really offense, is someone who can score points, is Turpin. That's it. You got Lamb, Turpin.
Yeah, he's explosive.
You got Lamb, Turpin on special teams. You know, he caught a slant for a touchdown last week, and nothing else. The Dallas Cowboys offense is broken. Mike McCarthy, he's done as dismal of a job these past few weeks as Cooper Rush. Like, McCarthy's just getting absolutely destroyed here for a lack of creativity with any type of game plan or getting anyone else involved. It's CeeDee Lamb, 4-speed, or nothing.
Well, let me ask you a question. How do they feel about you in Dallas?
Yeah, that is a good question.
Because, I mean, no, all you're doing is like what we did the past. You tell the truth. But they probably don't like that from a guy that came from the D.C. area.
That's a really good question. I think the biggest mistake I made in my career here was I was still, before Snyder sucked all my fandom out of me, I was still rooting for Washington on the radio here. And after the RG3 debut, I played Hail to the Redskins to Jerry when he came on. And that was a really stupid career choice by me. Really stupid career decision. But, you know, in years past, B. Mitch, talking like this and this harsh, you would have a lot of diehards pissed off at you because you were still winning 12 games, right? Like, the Dallas, make no mistake about it, the Cowboys have had excellent regular seasons the past 3 years. They're just not anywhere close to a Super Bowl team. This year, and y'all, I can't stress this enough, everyone is united in now rooting against them. They want the Cowboys to lose in such embarrassing fashion. You know why? Because they want it to pain Jerry. They want it to harm Jerry emotionally. There's such a venom and an anger. That's why I asked B. Mitch this morning, like, is this Snyder territory? And I actually think Washington fans were not rooting for the team to lose this much to hurt Snyder like Cowboy fans are right now because of the arrogance around here, because of the stubbornness, because of the arrogance. So if I talk like this in the years past when they were winning 12 games and fans had real hope, people would be mad at me. Everyone feels the exact same way of everything I'm saying right now. It's all of us. It's all of us against the team.
That's crazy, man. That, I mean, just for a team that's been so good the last few years.
It's a revolt. Like, people, Micah Parsons got booed the other night. Micah Parsons, like, maybe the next Lawrence Taylor, right? Your generational player. Micah Parsons got booed the other night on the big screen during Tyson Paul. CeeDee Lamb, right? All-world wide receiver. People are fed up and sick of CeeDee Lamb's body language, the pouting.
Dude, nobody shows up their quarterback like that, dude.
you know what I'm saying? Like, don't even get me started on Dak. Trayvon Diggs, he already fought with a reporter here about tackling. These guys,
he hit him with these nuts. That was hysterical.
you know what the Dallas Cowboys don't know? This is a lesson I have for my parents, and I'm going to teach my kids. When you're losing and you're humiliating, you're getting humiliated and embarrassed, just shut up. Like, don't talk. Be quiet. Yeah. Shut your mouth. Well, you know what happens around here? We got Micah Parsons' podcast the next day. We got Trayvon Diggs. We got Trayvon Diggs co-hosting. We got Jerry Jones twice a week. We got Stephen Jones twice a week. There is no, like, just put your head down, your tail between your legs around here. You got Micah and Diggs coming out saying, we are a damn good football team. You think that makes fans happy? That makes fans even more pissed off. And
that's
furious.
Them trying to transfer that blame to the coach and not the players.
Oh, that we're, yeah, like, we have a good enough team, we're just not being coached right?
Yeah, totally.
That's wild, man. Dude, Sean, thank you, man. Appreciate you making time. I know you're busy as hell.
I can tell you where you can get that vest at, because you keep talking about them people down there. You're going to need one. I'm going to have to come help my boy out.
Hey, I learned it from someone else sitting in that studio.
JP, you got to stop teaching Sean stuff, man.
Yeah, anybody.
I'll come back there and get y'all's coffee when they run me out of here.
It's not going to happen.
I'll come back and play the cowboy music, all right?
Sean, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
All right, man.
Sean Sharif, give him a follow at 105.3SS. He is not messing around. When we come back, let's hear from Cliff Kingsbury. There's been a lot of questions about Cliff's offense in the second half of seasons. He was asked that exact thing.
I love his answer.
And answer's interesting. Nobody go anywhere.
B-Mitch here. Big changes are happening in the DMV, and just like our upgraded football team, now is the time to upgrade the comfort in your home with a Rood HVAC system. I did, and the difference is day and night. My family and I felt the change instantly. And if you don't have a Rood system yet, trust me, you're missing out. Plus, there are tax-eligible options for you in the DMV. And if you're in Maryland, you might score some utility rebates. So head over to Rood.com, find a local pro partner, and get ready for winter. And always remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. There's been a lot of talk about what's going on with Jaden Daniels and the Commanders offense. And there's this theory out there, and perhaps it's got empirical support, that Cliff Kingsbury's offenses over the course of his time in Arizona performed worse in the second half of seasons. Like anything with statistics or analytics, you can always paint a picture that says one thing. And then there's always context that should surround those things. Context often gets lost. Numbers are pretty easy to look at, especially if you make cool-looking charts. Cliff Kingsbury spoke to the media today. I think it was pretty interesting. Let's go, Landini.
Oh, no worries. No worries. All good.
Cliff, what's prevented you guys from executing as an offense the way you'd like to the last couple weeks, and how do you improve that?
In what regard? Obviously, the Thursday night game was not our best, but like when you just overall execution, you say? Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. Played two really good defenses, first off, and then just having the ability to be on the practice field, continue to get reps together and build. I think this is the first week but we've been able to do that consistently as a unit, put in a full week, and so hopefully that pays off. But, you know, still had a chance in the fourth quarter. Our guys battled even when we weren't playing our best, which I appreciated. But just nailing the details, calling better plays. I mean, overall, collectively as an offense, we can be better. And I think a week of real practice will help that.
Is there anything specific or different that you focus on with Jaden now that he's back to practicing for the first time, and, you know, consistently in a month?
Yeah, I think you just get back to the basics, the fundamentals, and really hone in on those. I think anytime you have a couple games that, you know, aren't to maybe the level we all want to be at, you narrow the focus, and it's like, hey, let's nail the footwork, let's nail the reads, progressions, the base stuff, and start there. And he's a guy who, when he is working at it, he works really hard. He's very focused, and so this week has been good to see him back out there going full speed and getting the reps that I think will help us play at a higher level.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. Talking about heavy tendencies, right? When heavy tendencies are working, there's no problem with having those heavy tendencies, but when a defense kind of shows the rest of the league the way to kind of shut down that tendency, do you take that one experience and say, okay, we got to change some of this stuff, or do you make the NFL do it multiple times before you feel compelled?
I'm not, which tendency, maybe this will help me out, which tendency?
Specifically Terry McLaurin lining up left wide split.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't tell you that. That would be because then teams may use it against me. So
I got you. Yeah,
especially this week, but yeah. Definitely got to get him the ball more. So a tendency of not getting him the ball, we got to get him the ball more. I'll say that.
Combining your own previous head coaching experience with what you've experienced here in this go-around in the NFL, is there anything specifically you would want to take with you if and when that next opportunity comes for you?
I think I definitely have a new perspective, and being around DQ and just the way he carries himself, the consistency in his approach, his attitude, the way he treats players, he puts players first in everything he does. You come in on Monday, win, lose, or draw, and it's the same guy. And I think that being from IC, being able to step back and see it from the two 10,000-foot overview after being in that seat for you know 10 straight years has really helped me kind of see what I would want to be and who I'd want to be if I ever chose to do that again.
Hi, Coach. Running game, you got Brian Robinson back in the lineup the other week, and now you're at full speed again with all of your backs back there. Could you talk about a little bit about having them all back and what that enables you to do offensively?
Yeah, I think he and Austin are a great combo, and obviously when Jeremy's had his opportunities, he's done really well. And then C-Rod did a nice job when he got his number called. So those guys feed off each other. They push each other really well, and being able to have Austin some of that pass game stuff, what he does after catch has been really impressive. And then B-Rod for the tough yards in between the tackles, he's a physical runner. So it definitely helps our attack be more balanced when we have all those guys healthy and going full speed.
And speaking of healthy, could you talk a little bit about the offensive line and having some bodies back there and what that means this week against Dallas?
Yeah, Dallas is a challenge, there's no doubt. They've been a team that's played at a high level for a long time. I know their struggles because of injuries, things of that nature recently, but anytime we can get that O-line feeling healthy and have the depth we've had and have six and seven guys that we know we can rotate through and play at a high level, it definitely helps our confidence as a unit.
You got to be a head coach really young. I wonder, when you get that responsibility and those stresses at such a young age, how do you avoid, like, burnout, in this industry where there's so much stress and so much responsibility?
Yeah, I always just brought it back to the players, but definitely, especially going to your alma mater and you're 33 and it's a small college town, not a lot of things to do, not a lot of ways to have stress release. So I just focused on the players. I always found that anytime it feels like it's getting hard or it's tough, you just bring it back to them. And that has always centered me. Same deal, you know, being here. If we had a tough day or whatever, it's sometimes Monday and Tuesday when the players aren't around as much, it's tough. And then you get them here and you feel, all right, here we go. It feels right. So I think if you make it about players and process and you can always come back to those things, then you have an ability to never get too high or too low.
When you look at the pass game, how do you parcel out, like, the last couple of weeks with Jaden? You said the lack of practice time has impacted versus – what do you see there versus – these are two pretty good defenses. How do you, I guess, kind of
– Yeah, I think you just take it for what it is on both accounts. You know, the passing game has got to be precise, and you got to be out there going full speed with your receivers to nail it. And then you're playing against two good defenses that make it a challenge, even if you are full speed, even if you're on point with everything. So I think you take both into account, and you just focus on what you feel you can do to get better. You don't buy into one or the other too much and say, oh, it was this scheme or it was just that we didn't practice. You say, how do we get better when we do get the chance to practice?
Did you have to change anything in terms of plank calls or anything like that because of his rib or anything like that?
I'm not going to divulge what we did while he was, I would say, more banged up, but hopefully we play better this week. I'll just say that.
Can I ask you what about Micah Parsons? How do you guys account for him this week?
Yeah, Mike is a game wrecker. He's one of those. I thought Jalen Carter had a tremendous game against us. He was awesome and put us behind the chains several times. And Mike is a guy who can do the same thing. And if you don't have a plan for him, every snap, it takes one snap for him to take the ball away. And all of a sudden, it can be a long day. So he's a guy you got to have a plan for. He's dynamic, plays hard. And, he's one of the a handful of guys in the league that can really change a game by himself.
Take two more.
I don't think he is like this, but is Jaden Daniels one where, if he has two not as great games that you have to worry about confidence or anything like that, or is he pretty much?
No, he's pretty much who he is. I mean, he's competitive as all get out. And like I said, for him to put us in that position in the fourth quarter in both games to even have a chance to win, I thought was really impressive. And he's very tough and very competitive, and I know he earned a lot of respect from his teammates just by battling the last few weeks.
And Tyler Biadasz, I mean, just what have you? How much did you know about him? Obviously you knew of him, but did you know him much coming in? And what have you kind of learned from him?
Okay. No, I didn't. But we were thrilled to get him. He comes from Dallas, where I know he was really well coached, and his college program there at Wisconsin was really well coached, and he's had success everywhere he's been. And I think that's the thing that jumped out to me. They won a bunch of games when he was at Wisconsin, won a bunch when he was at Dallas, and so he's used to winning. He expects to win, and he brought that attitude with him here.
I'm not saying this is happening this year, but historically your offenses have declined a little bit in the second half of seasons. Are you aware of that, and is it important for you to, like, break that trend?
I would have to see what you're talking about historically, like the references, but yeah, I don't have any plans to do anything to break that trend that I know of. Yeah. I mean, I would have to see what years you're talking about. So I was thinking about doing triple option. Like, is that what you're thinking? Like, I don't know. Like, yeah, we're going to do what we do. So
thanks. All right. Let me clarify something. I would not actually expect them to run the triple option. I think Cliff was joking around. Pretty interesting presser there, though. Both with the Jaden stuff, clearly there is a clear message from seemingly everyone involved here that they think they're going to be really back to full operational now.
Yeah.
A full week of practice, full reps, full everything. And Jaden says he's feeling good. Like, it does seem like a concerted messaging effort. And I don't think Cliff wants to hear the second half of the season stuff.
Nah. I would suggest run the triple option. But Cliff, let's see what you say about that. But you know what, though? This is one thing that I will stand on the table and say. I don't believe this group here is telling people how to answer questions.
Sure.
I think everything they're answering is what we're going to talk about. This is our messaging. I don't believe they're doing that. And listen, after that, after listening to some of Joe.
Joe's no joke, man.
I am looking forward to the game this week.
This,
like, I've been looking forward to games all year. You've seen my excitement level.
Yeah.
I've never been like this.
Sunday's,
in the last 20-plus years, I guarantee you that.
Sunday's game is a chance for the narrative extinguisher, and they are fired up to do it. Now, there's a game tonight, too. Pittsburgh-Cleveland is coming up on Thursday Night Football. Let's take a look at some of the same-game parlay props on the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app. You heard me and B talking earlier. I like a George Pickens anytime touchdown. B likes a Nick Chubb anytime touchdown. Nick Chubb's rush yards in this thing, 52.5. I had a dude on Twitter tell me to go Jeremy Ford's rush yards go over at 12.5. I mean, there's a lot of options. Obviously, that Steelers defense is really, really good. So you wonder if you put a same-game parlay together with just Steelers offensive players. George Pickens going over 50. I do like that. Pat Freiermuth has been huge for Pittsburgh since Russ Wilson took over a quarterback. You get him over 2 catches. You parlay that 3 ways. You get Russ Wilson over 150 passing yards. You parlay those 3 legs together, and your total odds would be plus 160. That's pretty juicy for what seems very attainable. You only need Russ to get 150, Freiermuth to get 3 catches, Pickens at 51 yards, and you're a winner. I kind of like that, man. Download the ESPN Bet app and claim a 30% profit boost to use on your same-game parlay for tonight's game, Steelers-Browns. Now, odds and lines are subject to change. You must be 21-plus and present within the state of Maryland or Virginia to participate. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Some information here. Jeff Walker said if we can raise $12, that he'll give Chris Russell the people's elbow. B. Mitch has offered to pay it himself. I'll double it. That's $24.
I Jeff? Didn't say that, but come on, let's raise some more money. I'll go do it.
I'll contribute $12 as well.
Oh,
$36, Jeff. Just go break them off to people's elbow. And you got to put an AirPod in and do it live on the air.
He's in the middle of an interview right now. I ain't going to do that.
That's the perfect
right.
time.
That's when you really get him. Does he just fall out the chair?
Yeah, Chris Russell's doing his favorite bit where he finds
that's
the most.
That's when they just fall right at the chair. That's what you go.
Is he doing the?
Yeah, he finds the most public place in the station and decides to do an interview with some other radio station or podcast or something there instead of going into one of the dozen radio studios that we have.
Hey, Jeff, full speed, horizontal to the ground, knock him out the chair.
But Landfill, the look that Russell gets in the background is so good. Surely that must be why he does it in
Titus,
the middle, right?
Titus say Russell will knock you out, though.
It's about it's a bunch of broken TVs behind him. That's the backdrop.
And don't forget all the broken chairs. Nobody's got more broken chairs than the Odyssey Studios on Half Street in Washington.
I'm noticing there's a lot of gumbo talk on this damn thread.
What is all the gumbo talk, Jeff?
Let me talk to the thread real quick. Nobody here knows anything about gumbo but me. And nobody is really ask me anything. So how the hell are y'all having all this gumbo talk?
The only thing I know about gumbo is how to eat it.
No, but I'm saying I've seen a lot of gumbo references.
So this will happen.
I want to say, Mr. Mitchell, can you cook something?
Nobody wants to see B. Mitch in a tutu, for real. So they
all
like,
the women do.
They like,
all the women do. All the women do.
All right.
Yo, who doesn't? I do. Landfill?
I hope you don't, Jay.
I mean, I do.
You already got people wanting to see you in showers and stuff. Don't be bringing that tutu stuff. You want to see me?
Here's my understanding. Now, the drawing that I believe Cody Betts made, that is really an in-depth drawing.
It was awful.
It's B-Mitch in a bike suit with a tutu on top of it. I don't want to see Brian in just a tutu, but he's also a respectable man that I don't think would only wear just a tutu. I assume he would have some shorts on or something.
I was about to say,
depending on the clientele.
B is crazy. I don't know, bruh. But I don't want to see that, and I don't want to envision
B. That's the pot calling the kettle black. Come on, I'm crazy.
Everybody on this program is crazy.
In their own way. Oh,
100,000%.
Dude, something real and kind of scary. You ready for this?
Who the hell is Chris Strickland? Chris Strickland just fairly new. You better stop talking about tell him we just want gumbo. Strickland, you know how much gumbo costs?
I love how much you pay attention to the chat.
No. I haven't been looking. I just saw.
But every once in a while you do, and you get sucked in, and you reply to everybody.
I like to. You don't want people sending stuff to you.
I get it.
That you're crazy.
I get it.
Oh, Melissa Ford. Yeah, that's my friend.
They want us to chat. We're chatting.
Melissa Ford is my friend.
Listen to this, B. This is serious.
Yeah.
The NFL security team. I'm being serious here. The NFL issued a security alert to team security directors and the players' union on Wednesday about organized and skilled criminals that are increasingly targeting the homes of professional athletes, including recent burglaries of Kansas City Chiefs stars Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, according to a memo obtained by NFL.com. This is wild. Listen, sources say the FBI is investigating the crime wave as international organized crime. The league, the Players Association, and team security forces also have been monitoring the crime spree, which is believed to be tied to a South American crime syndicate. At least one other current NFL player's home was burglarized in the past week. It's legit, said one source familiar with the situation. It's a transnational crime ring, and over the last 3 weeks, they've focused on NBA and NFL players, and it's all over the country. Damn.
Listen, I hear what you say, what they're saying, but
this is from NFL.com.
Yeah,
this is from Tom
Pelissero. But you know who knows when the guy's out of town? The local criminals.
Yeah?
I don't know if it's such a organized thing. The local criminals know people out of town.
Listen, man, if the FBI is and all these people are saying it, I tend to believe it. But maybe it's just the local criminals trying to frame it on South American criminals.
Amen.
Be safe. That's all. I mean,
listen, if you are any public figure, you have to be safe.
Yeah.
They know when you're rolling.
I got three letters for you. CCW. Any athlete or public. Really, anybody.
But let me ask you a question. What does CCW do for you when you're in Philadelphia and your house is in Kansas City? Nothing. So, not CCW, security.
I don't know.
Have somebody watching your spot when you're gone.
I just found that scary, man. All right, here's what we're going to do.
It is. When you said it, I thought they were talking about something at the damn stadiums.
No. At the people's houses, man. Thursdays at 1 o'clock, we come together as a people, as a group. We come together in our collective annoyances, angers, misunderstandings. Whoever has wronged you, now's the time. Phone lines open. It is Bleep You Thursday, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Phone lines open now.